the races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, a little past 15 into hour three, and the last 45 minutes of the weekend preview. We talked to Jay Pribman midweek, cleared off the deck of all the Derby watch action. Jay, good morning.
Steve, how are you?
Excellent, excellent. And I'm sure, like everybody else on the West Coast, stakeholders, horse players, fans, management, you're excited that get back to racing today at the Oceanside Oval.
Yes, it's near the ocean. There's a town near here called Oceanside, though, so be careful the way you phrase that.
That's true. That's true, I guess. What town? You know, every time I try to identify Del Mar from a what township per se? Because when I say San Diego, people get offended. What should we say in terms of the actual address?
It's in Del Mar. The town is called Del Mar.
It's just Del Mar. All right. Is there? There's not a greater, wider environment that it's referred to.
Well, it's Del Mar, which is in northern San Diego County, which is north of San Diego. But, I mean, the actual town is Del Mar, just as the actual town where the upstate New York track is called is Saratoga Springs.
All right, because that little village there, when you go past the track, that's the town.
That's the town, and then up in the hills above it, where the real estate's a little more than we plebeians can afford.
But rarefied air,
definitely, literally and figuratively, rarefied air.
Well, nice to get these cards up and running, and they're actually. I was reminded this morning as well that the Monday makeup date added to the slate.
Right, and they're drawing that card today, so we'll know. Well, there's no stakes scheduled that day. There's seven stakes over the next 3 days. No stakes on Monday. But they're going to draw for that card today. And it's actually, Steve, just a little bit more about the Monday card. They're doing it sort of as an experiment. They're going to be allowed to make up the 3 days that were canceled last weekend. They're going to be able to make up during the course of the meet. And the only day that they've so far announced that they're doing as a makeup day is this Monday. And the reason they haven't committed to any other days yet is they're doing this as an experiment. If it goes well and running on a day that's normally not a big day and being sort of the 800-pound gorilla of simulcasting on a day like that, if that ends up being more beneficial than running on a Thursday when you've got other bigger tracks going like Saratoga, then they might do the other two makeup days on Mondays. If it just turns out there's not enough eyeballs on the sport on Monday and the handle doesn't rise, then I think they'll. The other days that they would add would be Thursdays. So they're waiting to see how this Monday experiment goes before deciding what the other two makeup days are going to be. And they've got plenty of time because the meet doesn't end till Labor Day.
Nice. You would think, I mean, frankly, with the numbers we're seeing, Jay, from the Monday, Tuesday, and to some extent Wednesday, Thursday, principally driven by Indiana and Canterbury, you would think there's so many more people, playing it just in the pools right now than there used to be on Mondays and Tuesdays. I think it'll be a bonanza. And the late start, right? The late start helps. Yeah, 5 o'clock.
Pardon me?
The late start won't hurt, right? They'll start at 2 o'clock Pacific.
I guess. I mean, you'd know better than me. I mean, do people in the East Coast look at Del Mar at 8, 9, and 10 at night? I mean, I don't know.
I think they will.
Good.
They're going to be very happy, I think, with what they're going to, there'll be a lot of play. Yeah. And they found a nice slot. This will be interesting. Good for them. And I also read, I saw Steve Anderson's piece, Jay, where without the live racing last week, them being the you know, the simulcast host signal during the weekend, during the meet, they picked up a nice chunk for purses, too. $600,000, Steve reported.
Right. So they'll be able to add that in as the meet goes on. So that'll help spread the wealth around a little bit.
Really nice. And let's talk about some of the spots. Of course, today you got the Daisy Cutter, fillies and mares, turf sprinting, and earlier on the card, a narrow group for the Fleet Treat, and of course, Warren Showtime. I don't know if you heard me early this morning. I was shocked. I looked at the morning line for that Fleet Treat. Warren Showtime is a shorter price in a graded stake than she was going to be against Calbreds?
Well, she is running in the stake tomorrow.
Right.
On the grass, as you mentioned there. Her grass form is quite good, and it's two turns, and I'm not sure the San Clemente came up. You know, there's no killers in there. There's some nice fillies, but nobody who you'd run the other way from. And, you know, on going around, you know, one turn on dirt, she might have been a little more vulnerable.
That's fair. I like her a lot, and I made her the beat pick NTRA NHC qualifier contest. I made her the selection, and it's a fun group. There's some speed in there, and I've been a fan of Warren Showtime. Any thoughts about today before we talk about the weekend?
Sure. Which race do you want to go to?
Maybe that Daisy Cutter is kind of fun. And Steal the Diamonds for Pipey and JoJo Air, Wesley Ward, Peter Miller, always vibrant in these sprints. I thought this was I didn't really expect it, but when I printed everything out, I thought, ooh, look at this. This is all right.
No, it's a very interesting race. Steal the Diamonds, I think, will benefit by cutting back to five from 5.5. She is 2 for 2, going 5/8 at Del Mar, and 5.5 is just a little bit beyond her most effective range because she's very fast away from the gate, and she's got quarter horse-like speed leaving the gate. So she's going to be the one to catch in that race today, but there's a couple others in here who I think have decent chances, who I think are going to be making their presence felt against her, and they're the two that are drawn to the inside of her. Tomlin, I liked her win in the Camilo Urso at Golden Gate last time out, and she ships down here, and I think she's going to run well in this spot. I think this is a smart move on Steve Speck's part. And also Lighthouse, who's, you know, 3-year-old going against older, but she's a really, really terrific turf sprinter, and she did win against maidens here last year. The only time she's run poorly was when she went long. And I think she's got a sneaky upset chance in here at a price, even though she's running against her elders today. So I'm going to be on the inside three in the Daisy Cutter.
Nice. This is a good group. I'm looking forward. Let's go to Saturday, and you got the early action, which includes a small group and the Smiling Tiger, but that San Clemente, and then of course the feature put off a week with the return of Maximum Security under the care of Bob Baffert. We talked to him on Tuesday. San Clemente, Jay, thoughts?
So, as you mentioned, that's where Warren Showtime is going to go. There's, you know, obviously a few others in here who are going to make her earn it. You know, most notably Laura's Light, who won the Honeymoon at Santa Anita in her last start, and she fires every time. You know, her performance quite good, and I know she'll give another good account of herself because she always does. But there's a couple of middle-priced horses in here that I think are absolutely worth using. The five-horse Crow of Oak, or whoever you say your name, I'll let your many Irish guests give us the correct pronunciation of that. But I like to race in the Honeymoon a lot. coming from behind in there. I think she'll get more pace in here. It's sort of counterintuitive, but I think going a mile, sometimes you get more pace in these races, and it helps a late runner like her, and I think she'll come running late in this race. And then there's a horse who I think is going to run really well fresh in here, and that's the horse that's on the bottom, Applecross, who's 12-1 on the morning line. She won her first race last year in Great Britain. This will be her first start as a three-year-old, but I like that she runs well fresh. She's got a good series of works on the comeback trail for Baltus, who has a very good record with layoff horses. And her one race, or a couple races here at Del Mar last year, were a lot better than it looks. And I think with time to mature and grow up, she's got a big chance in here. So I'm going to be using her as well. I'm going to go several horses. I'm going to use several horses in here to try and knock off or stay alive, I guess, in this case, in the pick five.
You bring up Applecross, and one thing that appeals here, I mean, first of all, getting back getting in the hands of Van Dyke, I think might benefit. Nothing wrong, obviously, with Giovanni Franco or Florent Giroux, but he is so effective at timing a move on that turf course. In fact, I mentioned this earlier today in a different context, but this is obviously a filly that comes with a run, and launching it, there's been, you know better than me historically, Jay, guys have ridden that turf course brilliantly. DeSormo, a guy that timed his rides and seemed to launch at perfect timing. And Drayden Van Dyke has got that skill, and he may really mesh well with Applecross.
Right. I mean, the thing that's going to hinder her is that she needs to try and work out a trip. She's drawn wide, and she's going to be out the back, so she'll need some help up front. But, hopefully the price will be, she's 12 on the morning line. I think she'll probably come down a couple of ticks from there. But she'll still, I would think, offer a little bit of value in the eight range. So she's a use for me. But like I said, I'm using about four horses in here.
It's a good rendition. And in fact, both of these stakes this weekend, the San Clemente and the Eddie Reed, rarely disappoint summer after summer. Let's talk about the San Diego. And, Baffert had hinted the other day, Jay, that some horses were coming out of here. I mean, Sharp Samurai, obviously, being a turf horse, was headed for the Eddie Reed. But Combatant cross-entered as well. So I guess we are probably heading postward with four.
Yeah, I mean we had written that in the racing form last week when a similar situation took place, and both entered this race and the Eddie Reed, which were both scheduled to be run on the respective weekend days last year, Saturday, Sunday. So this isn't a surprise that this is what's going on. And in the case of Combatant, for instance, I mean, he's owned by the same people who own Higher Power, so they're not going to run them both against each other. One's going to go in here, one's going to go on the grass. And as Combatant, has run on the grass before. He might not be as effective, but I think this was just a way to try and split them up. And as we know, Higher Power loves Del Mar. He won the Pacific Classic here last year, so that's the way that'll play out. But obviously the focus of the race is going to be on Maximum Security, his first start since the Saudi Cup, his first start since changing trainers, and his first start under a very new training schedule or regiment, because I don't think there could be a bigger contrast in the way Bob Baffert drills his horses in the morning to the way that Jason Service would breeze his horses in the morning. So it's quite the difference in styles here, and it's going to be interesting to see how Maximum Security does in his first start for his new connections. I mean, he's got a series of strong works in terms of the time. He's definitely likes to be pushed along a little bit in the morning, so very interested to see how he runs, knowing that both Higher Power on his best day and even Mid-Court, both of whom are horses who have shown an affinity for Del Mar in the past, I think can give him a tussle if he's not at his best.
Baffert did say on Tuesday he is very anxious to get him going, and he seems very confident Yeah, and it's funny, Jay, that he ends up with this horse to some degree, because I'm sure you can recall, it was whatever the same weekend was of the, I guess, of the Florida Derby, and even though Baffert had won, was that the Bob Lewis last year? The first thing he was talking about, everybody was asking about, you know, about the Santa Anita Derby and the Kentucky Derby and his horses, and he brought up Maximum Security. He said the horse that everybody's got to beat is Maximum Security. I mean, he was...
Yeah, no, he's always had very high regard for the abilities of Maximum Security. Not sure when he made those initial comments, because the Santa Anita Derby and the Florida Derby the Florida Derby's not run on the same weekend as a Santa Anita Stakes 3-year-old, so I'm not sure when he would have said it. But I know, to your larger point, that it's something that he has said many times preceding last year's Kentucky Derby. You know, when he said that was the, he felt that was the horse to beat. And don't forget it, you know, he had Game Winner, so I mean that was, you know, owned by the same connections. So
yep.
He was just sort of comparing and contrasting the, you know, that Gary and Mary West looked like they had two strong chances going into the race last year, and one of them crossed the wire first and got DQ'd, and the other one had a pretty nightmarish trip.
Exactly. Well, this will be closely watched. 6:30 Pacific. Getting into into the late night, actually, back east, and a 9:30 Eastern start for the San Diego handicap. Looking forward to it. And on Sunday, Jay, it looks like a pretty good card on Sunday too, highlighted by the Eddie Reed.
Yeah, no, it's a good race. I like this group of horses. They kind of take turns usually beating each other, but it's, you know, it's a good solid group of horses out here. And we've got an intriguing horse dropping in with United cutting back in distance. You know, he's obviously going to be the marquee name in here because of what he's accomplished overall. But, you know, I think cutting back to a mile and an eighth, there's other horses in here who are probably better at this distance. I thought Bowie Zero ran a real good race off the long layoff last time in the American, and he's obviously done extremely well on this course over the years. He's the defending race winner. So I think he'll do very well in here. And another horse in this group who just always fires is Neptune Storm. And I you were talking before about Van Dyke. He's going to take over on this horse. And when he's at his best, and he ran some real good races here last year, most notably in the Hollywood Derby when he was second to Mo Forza at the time. You know, Mo Forza was probably the best 3-year-old turf horse in the country last fall. And I thought Neptune Storm ran a sensational race against him last year. This will be his third start off of a layoff, and I think he's got some a chance to move forward here. And, you know, it'll probably be a pretty square price based on, you know, some of the other marquee names in here, but I think he's got a good chance. So those are the ones that I'm most interested in on Sunday.
Well, and the Sunday card, I want to point out the opener. The first race on Sunday is a $100,000 optional claimer allowance, essentially, and it's a turf sprint, and it marks first Del Mar start for one of my favorite horses in training out west, Sparkyville, for Jeff Bondi. And he is plucky, he's versatile, he's hard trier, and Mike Smith gets aboard, who doesn't ride all that often for Bondi. Sparkyville, one of my pets. Doug O'Neill's got Blitzkrieg coming off the American win at the Santa Anita. Bombard comes back too for Mandela, that's now 7 years old.
Kind of annoying. So off of a pretty lengthy layoff from Bombard, and
yeah,
you know, Baja Sur is a pretty salty horse from mostly races in Northern California, but he showed his versatility on the grass last time, and that race has already had a next out winner with the, any port in a storm. So it's a small field, but it's, you could probably make a case for just about everyone in there. You know, you're talking about openers, Steve. There's one going to back to Saturday. There's a two-year-old race on the grass going long that's got a couple of horses in there that were in my pre-meet two-year-old to watch story, including from Mandela's barn, Kaysan, who's I think's got a chance to be a pretty pretty significant horse out here. I know Mandela's kind of poo-pooed his dirt works. I don't think they've been that bad, especially his most recent one, the 6 furlong work that he had coming into this. He's obviously bred for the grass, and he had said before the meet that he was going to start him on the grass, but I think this is a horse worth following. Even if he's not at his best tomorrow, I think he's one to keep an eye on. But I think this horse has a chance to be a pretty pretty significant horse. And then you've got Big Talker for Yak Teen, who's you know, the pedigree on that horse is pretty pretty significant. You know, the dam has had you know, a number of top horses, including the full brother Big Score, who's knocked out about $800,000, and you know, Mucho Unusual, who's still going strong. So that's a pretty significant pedigree there.
And I'm glad you mentioned Big Talker, because it was on the second page, and I had noted that when I was going through, I was looking at the pedigrees, that the Krikorian Homebred is back out of Not Unusual. Has been very productive. Nice. Nice. Well, great to get Del Mar back, obviously, Jay, and hope for no interruptions from here through to Labor Day. And I appreciate the second visit of the week.
Thank you for the second visit. And yes, fingers crossed out here.
Jay Privman, everybody. Thoroughbred LA tomorrow, or Thoroughbred Del Mar?
Yes, Thoroughbred LA from Del Mar. 9 to 10 Pacific time, KLAA, AM 830 on your radio dial, thoroughbredla.com, if you're not in Southern California. So thank you for the plug.
Always.
And I only do an hour a week. I don't know how you do 15. I really don't.
I should also, one thing I have not done, I should have done it for the opening of the season. For those of you that would like to know Del Mar better, particularly those of us, you know, that I've only really got there for racing for the Breeders' Cup, Jay's book with his cousin's photographs, Del Mar at 75, put that on your list if you don't have it. It's wonderful. And there's still copies available.
It's a fine non-holiday gift idea.
Exactly. If Del Mar's running, it's a holiday.
It's a little dated now. It's about 5 years old, but it's still, no. I think if you want to know about the history of Del Mar, and obviously the photography from Barry Myers is sensational. So it's a good coffee table book. It's not the coffee table book that, you know, about coffee tables that Kramer had, but it'll still go nicely.
You can get it new or slightly used at Amazon and Goodreads and fine book dealers everywhere. Jay, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Steve. Have a good weekend.
You too. Where the turf meets the surf. And, you know, and Jill Byrne is standing by. And Jill, do we have to come up with a cute nickname for, like, a little jingle for Colonial?
Oh, I think you should now. Absolutely. I mean, we're the United States' largest turf course, so we've got that.
That's
you
good.
Know, we've gone from the West Coast to the East Coast now, from Del Mar to Colonial. So.
I love it. Well, your ears must have been burning because yesterday with Sean Clancy, and actually even on Wednesday with Bill Gallo, we were talking about the steeplechase side of the Colonial schedule, and a couple of them on opening day. But let's talk the overall themes. I wanted people going into the weekend and, you know, coming out on Monday to be ready to focus on Colonial in this second season after the rebirth.
We are ready. We can't wait. Looking forward to it. I'm sitting out here right now on the stable area side, overlooking both tracks, watching all the last minute preparation go. Secretariat Turf Course could not look more beautiful. So we're ready. Yep, Colonial Downs 2.0, as we like to say, after last year's success. Looking to build off of that this year. But, of course, thanks to this pandemic that everybody's having to deal with, and just as horrible as that is, you know, there are obviously challenges and changes for this year.
Talk a little bit, Jill, about how you've approached it, and, you know, as opposed to some of the venues who had their schedule interrupted, you know, you were able to kind of sit back a little bit, get, you know, some PP, so to speak, on how other venues were going to handle things. Talk about some of the decisions that were made.
Yeah, as you mentioned, you know, at least, you know, at the time we weren't running, and since we're a seasonal race meet without infrastructure built in, you know, we don't have horses here year round or horses stabled here, you know, for a long time leading up to racing. So nobody was displaced, you know, nobody was put out as far as that goes. But, you know, obviously we just had to sit and wait until the administration made a decision for us, meaning the governor, on, you know, whether we would be racing, first of all. And of course, we finally got that approval, and then it's, you know, a mad dash to be ready. And, you know, but we're just delighted that we are running, and Virginia Horsemen, of course, big supporters of us and big supporters to help keep this going. But, you know, like everybody, it's been a struggle, and it's day to day, as we don't know what this pandemic is going to do. Whenever they think it's about to let up, takes another turn for the worse again. So we're ready. We have very strict protocols in place, as do many tracks, and following those to the T. So, you know, we're just, most important part is that racing's back, racing's happening, and that's so important for the horsemen, for the jockeys, for the breeders, for everybody, for the entire industry. You know, that we're able to race as other tracks are. Disappointing fans can't be out here, as they're a big part of racing. But, you know, I think everybody understands you've got to have safety and health first in this very unusual circumstances that we're in. And, you know, hope and pray that we get through this and look forward to 2021 for the return of some sort of normalcy.
Jill Byrne with us from Colonial. And Jill, in terms of the jockey colony protocols, how did you guys determination in terms of guys, you know, you're running Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays through September 2nd. How are you guys going to handle the jockey colony?
Well, we're doing very similar to what other tracks are doing now. We had actually tried to hope that we could coordinate with Maryland on sharing a colony, but, you know, in all fairness to both tracks, Colonial and Maryland, it's just difficult to execute and facilitate. So we're all doing our own jockey colony, and our jockeys that are coming here to Colonial, you know, required to provide a negative COVID test. And also, if they've had the test and don't have their results back yet, because there's just been so many delays on the results, we will have a separate quarantine room for them as well. But then once they're here and riding, if they go and ride at another track, they would have to self-quarantine for 14 days and then provide us with another negative COVID test before returning. So I think you'll find, as with Maryland and some of these other colonies, they're going to stay put 14 days. When you're talking about an 18-day race meet, is kind of a long time to have to quarantine for anywhere, and other tracks are requesting the same thing. So we've got some great riders coming here to ride. Forest Boyce, last year's champion jockey here, Trevor McCarthy, really looking forward to having them back, as well as Katie Davis will be here. We were going to have Danny Santino, and of course he got injured yesterday in Delaware, so he's out. But, you know, a good colony, and when you've got the likes of, you know, those top three riders there, and Katie and Forrest and Trevor, and then other riders as well that are committed to Colonial, you know, we're better off than we thought we'd be, just, you know, being such a short meet. But we are giving away, you know, decent purse money, average 340 a day, and three
nice.
Nights a week. So, you know, it makes for a good opportunity for people to make a good living. And we have such great support from top horsemen as well. And when you have the top horsemen, trainers and owners, they want the quality riders. So I think all of that just kind of fell into place.
Really nice. The opening night card is an 11 race card with the two steeplechase maiden races, and they actually, in fact, this came up with Sean yesterday. They're listed as races 10 and 11, I see, in some spots, but in fact,
yep.
they're going to run first.
Yes, they run at 4 and 4:40. They are non-wagering events, and that's just the way, you know, in Encompass, you have to list them as 10 and 11 that way. But they do run before our simulcast card begins at 4 and 4:40. So looking forward to seeing the steeplechase horses back again, making special accommodations as well for the steeplechase jockeys. They will be completely separate from the regular jocks room. They will be over here actually in a building on the back stretch. And that because they will be going back and forth to Saratoga, so we have them completely isolated from the other jocks room as well. So, you know, tracks are having to really make these special arrangements to accommodate these unusual circumstances, but it's what you have to do in these times to make sure that everybody stays safe and healthy and to be able to stay in business. You know, nobody wants to end up in a situation where they're going to have to cancel racing due to this or stop racing.
Well, and you've got a nice smattering of you know, the Mid-Atlantic training community just looking up and down the list from
yeah.
you know, from Fairhill and through Maryland and Delaware, Jersey. There'll be New York shippers coming down. There's a little bit of everything. How many horses in terms of? I mean, is everything shipping in, or is are there some?
No, we have a lot of horses on the ground.
That's what I thought.
Here already stabled. Yeah, we had an abundance of stall applications. We have 12 of our 14 barns open, fully renovated. All those barns completely fully renovated.
Nice.
All our dorms, bathhouses open, and we will have probably around 600 horses stabled on the ground. Whereas last year, I think we had about 375. And a lot of horses already, you know, stabled here, so that's exciting. And then, of course, you do, you know, we get a lot of ship-ins. I think for Saturday we have 60 horses shipping in for Monday's races. So luckily we have a 100-plus stall receiving barn and ready to go, ready to accommodate everybody. Mike Stidham's got 20 horses here on the grounds this year. He's got 20 stalls. Chris Clement.
Nice.
Sending horses here. Graham Motion, always a big supporter of the race meet. So, you know, all the Tampa people as well, they've been huge supporters here. So we have a good mix. We're a real a mixed melting pot of people from all over.
Let's also, Jill, give everybody a glance at the wagering menu. Any changes, any innovation we want to feature?
Oh, let's see. You know, I think we've got that all grass pick five at the end of every day. So that's
nice.
Always exciting. You get those
nice.
Full fields. Pick five, the rolling pick threes, I believe it is. I don't have everything in front of me. And I know the guys have been working away on that. But yeah, so you know, we've got Jason Beam back in the announcer's booth, and he'll be doing a lot of good promotion as well. Of the races, and Merv Huber back in the paddock, and you know, just a great crew here. So we're excited to get going.
Stakes calendar,
and they had to cut some of the races. Well, we lost the match series this year, as you know,
right.
that was canceled because of this COVID. So that was quite a few stakes races, open stakes races. We have a very, very good, solid Virginia stakes program, and then. The open stakes will be highlighted, of course, by the Virginia Derby, Virginia Oaks, the Rosie Stakes, the Kitten's Joy, and we have one other stake that night, and that's September 1st. That would be the night before our closing night. And, you know, last year, a winner of the Rosie's, the Exacta Systems Rosie Stakes was four-wheel drive who ended up winning the Breeders' Cup. So that was exciting, our first year back, and we have a Breeders' Cup winner come out of our stakes races.
Well, and you mentioned the Rosie's name. The facility, the gaming facility, has reopened, correct?
Yes, that's reopened, and it's at limited capacity as per the administration's regulations. So all of them are at limited capacity, and we have plexiglass between machines, and the machines are all at, so every other machine, and then the plexiglass between them as well. So all social distance masks are required inside and required inside anywhere in the state of Virginia. That's a mandate. And hand sanitizing, temperature checks, health checks at all entrances, and wristbanding on the backstretch to make sure we know that everybody's been temp checked, health checked. So it's a lot to put into place, but there is no question about doing it. You have to do it, you do it, and you make sure your priority is to try to control this and to keep everybody healthy so that we can all continue to race and to stay in business and keep people going.
So absolutely.
It's a big expense to put all this into place, but there's never a question about it. Our company's been great at getting everything prepared and executing it. So that's what we're doing.
Well, Jill, we'll check in during the meet. You can follow Merv Huber under Merv Huber, Beamy Awards, Jason Beam, Jill R. Mm-hmm. Byrne, and Colonial Rosies for everything. And, visit for details. We've got another big steak night in the middle of the week. It'll be a Tuesday, September 1st. So that'll be fun. And best wishes
that'll
to everybody,
off
Jill.
Derby week.
Exactly.
Kentucky Derby week. So you get the Virginia Derby to kick off the Kentucky Derby week. And, all our races will be on TVG as well. And you can wager on all the ADW platforms, TwinSpires, TVG, ExpressBet, and IraBet. So everybody's open for business, and we're just excited that we're back for round two.
Jill, I appreciate it. Good luck to everybody. Safe, healthy meet for season two of the new Colonial. And we'll save visits for 2021, but certainly based on opening night Monday, two great maiden races over the fences. And in fact, Woodbury Payne just sent me a text. He's on his way back after 2 days of stewarding the jump races at Saratoga. Woodbury will be in attendance and up in the stand, and then a terrific card that averages 9 horses per race. Jill, thanks so much.
Thanks, Steve. We always appreciate your support as well.
Not at all. Jill Byrne, everybody, and Monday Colonial will keep you in tune. Monday, Tuesdays, Wednesdays for 6 weeks through September 2nd. We'll stay right here. We've only got 5 minutes. The hammer is out. God knows where he is. He's in God's country, literally, in big sky country. Hammer, where are you?
Well, in mid God's country, I'll tell you. Where I'm sitting at the patio of the lodge of the northern entrance of Yellowstone.
Oh, wow.
And we just got here because we've been out wolf searching this morning. That was Gina's deal. So you drive until you see a bunch of people looking in binoculars, and you pull over and you say, "You see anything?" And actually, we did see a couple of wolves, which is pretty rare, I guess, up here. You got to get up early. There's only 75 or 100 left in this pack that's been roaming the hills for a while. But yes, up here, what a break. We just got into service. I said, we got to get going here. Anybody that wants to take a break from the real world, this is it up north here. And you get a double break because, it's 50% whether you're going to get service for anything. And you know what? That's a good thing. Kind of gets you away from the from the real world for a while. But, I was talking about breaks and racing for the horses and stuff. But, I tell you what, this break for me, it'd be a couple weeks, and I'm ready to get back. We're actually only about a month away from it, stakes closing for Kentucky Downs. And, listen to you talk to Jill. We'll probably, since they found their niche, we'll probably see a lot of horses that run at Colonial just kind of wheel down to Kentucky Downs, later in September. So it's kind of wild to be thinking about Derby and thinking about stuff like that as we go along, but that's the way it is. As an elk just walked along in front of me here, it's pretty, it's unbelievable the wildlife you see. But Yeah, we've had bison all morning. So anybody that's never been up to Yellowstone, anyway, you need to come up here and check it out. But it's been just a great break, and I've sent some pictures out of horses. So far we were in Little Bighorn yesterday, and it was just such a solemn, quiet little place. And you know, it's you just kind of walk along and drive along and see where things happen, and all of a sudden this group of 10, 12 horses walked by, and you know, they're in the wild out there, and it's just so cool. It really connects to what we do, and you know, it's all about the horse and everything else. And then the week before, we were at polo watching, you know, some thoroughbreds maneuver around the polo fields and how athletic they are. So it's kind of neat for me being in the business to see the horse out here in different environments and what a beautiful animal it is, and just enjoy that. But I'm getting ready to see some horses with some numbers on them, you know, running down the stretch. For sure. Nice. You know, one quick thing, I just don't have much time, but about that the race at the Hassle last week, we were talking, and I was not a big authentic fan as we said on the radio, but he was the perfect Monmouth horse. You know, the speed, that he just fit that horse perfect. And you know what? That's what Baffert does. Bob Baffert does better than most. If he places the horses at the right race at the right racetrack, and obviously he has a lot of horses to do that with. But over the years, with his three-year-old, he's known which ones to send to Arkansas and which ones to send to New York and which ones to send, you know, to Monmouth. And that was the perfect horse for the course there for Authentic. And I don't know. I you know, the way I hear him talk after the race is they think he's got something left. I don't know. I wouldn't toss him yet. I wasn't a fan going in, but I had a little more respect for him coming out. And Mike Smith, you never know if he's just taking it right to the edge, because he's just so good at that, you know, measuring it, and if there really was something left in the tank. But, you know, I wouldn't throw him out too much. But good to see racing back at Del Mar. 4-day week. You mentioned the Daisy Cutter today. I wouldn't leave out that Alfredo Marquez horse, Storm and Lady. I think that beat the price on the line.
All right.
And so she's, I think, 8-1. I think she's 5-1 the money there. And coming off, a good year last year, so I wouldn't leave her out at all. Obviously, the pipey horse is going to be good. And also, maximum security. You know, you never know down there. You remember what happened with Airgate on that track?
That's right. That's true.
Track.
That's true.
And right. And you'll find out. You'll find out. I mean, he's supposed to run away from these, but if something's not right, you know, I don't know. We'll see if Bob will tell you if he ends up running the Pacific Classic. But Airgate didn't run well in San Diego, and, you know, just never ran well in Del Mar.
No, nope, exactly.
Like it, some don't. So
exactly.
You're going to try and take a shot maybe today in the four-horse field or tomorrow. But anyway, it's all good. Thanks for checking in. Maybe we'll be. Nobody wants to go home. They all want to, like, do another loop again and stay up here. But we'll probably be back home next week and get down to some serious business. But always a pleasure to talk to you and everyone out there, and have a great week. And get out and see this country if you can. Now's the time to do it.
Thanks, Hammer, and thanks to Jay Pribman, Jill Byrne, Nick Tamaro, Pat Cummings, and James Scully. Good luck, everybody, this weekend. We will talk to you Monday.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at Horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice is sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
With Steve Bick.
Enough.
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.